time of year, and you'll see a lot of new pavement, and especially Hart Street. I know everybody's like, it doesn't look that bad. If you look at it, it's really, really showing its age, and it's 20-plus years old.
It is, yeah, late 90s.
The match for that comes from the TIF, and that TIF will end in a couple of years. Mm-hmm. So we knew we needed to get the match from them and get this in good shape before the TIF goes away. So it's good for another 20-plus years.
And the mayor and I have been watching Hart Street literally for at least 5 years, yes, knowing, number one, the TIF is going to expire. Number two, monitoring the surface wear, monitoring the deterioration of it. We've been crack sealing it. We've had a vigorous crack seal program, and that's bought us a lot of time. So it's something we've seen coming for a while, and it's time to pull the trigger.
Okay. Jim, I appreciate you coming in today. I know you're busy, and thank you so much.
All right.
Our pleasure.
Thanks.
We'll see you next week.
Yep, see you next week.
All right. Stay tuned. More of the Morning Chat coming up on WAOV.
From the WAOV News Center, I'm Tom Lee reporting. No injuries reported in a weekend house fire on Rainy Drive in Vincennes. Vincennes City and Vincennes Township firefighters were dispatched to that blaze. The occupants were able to get out of the residence safely. A dog was from the home given oxygen and is said to be okay. No word yet on the fire cause. This coming Sunday night, April 21st, the 69th annual Civitan Radio Auction will be heard on 92.1 WZDM and also some nights right here on WAOV. The Civitan Auction, hosted each year by members of the Civitan Club, as a fundraiser for their organization. Auction proceeds used for various local projects. AAA Motor Club reporting the price of gas in Indiana, $3.60 a gallon, right now 3 cents lower than the national average. In Vincennes, gas prices right now averaging about $3.50 per gallon on the average. Right now, diesel fuel at $4.07, still 22 cents lower than it was a year ago. More news available anytime you want it online at WAOVAM.com. I'm Tom Lee reporting for WAOV News.
Indiana pork farmers in D.C. last week. I'm Eric Pfeiffer. This is Hoosier Ag Today. One of those was Indiana Pork Board Director Todd Rodabaugh from Hamilton County. Prop 12 was a big topic of conversation with legislators, with Rodabaugh telling them that pork producers should have a choice when it comes to how they raise their pigs and not have burdensome regulations like Prop 12 demands.
You could easily snowball that issue into 50 states coming out with 50 different production practices and then making it nearly impossible to keep track of that on the farm, and ultimately raising prices for consumer, not only in the state of California, which we've seen to a certain extent with Prop 12, but, you know, across the nation.
There's been talk that Prop 12 might be addressed in the new farm bill. We'll all have to wait and see if it is. You can hear much more from my interview with Rodabaugh and their trip to D.C. at HoosierAgToday.com. I'm Eric Pfeiffer, Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's Farm Network.
America respects our first responders and veterans, the brave whose business is taking action when calamity strikes. It's dangerous work, often surrounded by sirens, shouting, even gunfire, so hearing loss is probable. First responders can turn to Relay Indiana. If you have trouble hearing on the telephone, visit RelayIndiana.com for voice recognition technology phones that allow the hearing impaired to have normal phone conversations. And there's loaned equipment for those who qualify. Get clarity back on the phone. Visit RelayIndiana.com.
Help DEA keep our community safe and healthy by participating in National Prescription Drug Takeback Day, Saturday, April 27th. Take action right in your own home by cleaning out your medicine cabinet of unneeded medications. Keep them safe. Clean them out. Take them back. Find a collection site near you at DEATakeback.com. Do your part to lower overdose deaths and prevent prescription drug misuse before it starts. That's DEATakeback.com.
Premier Landscape and Design provides an array of landscape maintenance and upkeep for your property or business. For a healthy, visually appealing, and trouble-free landscape, call Premier Landscape and Design to get on the schedule or stop by between the tracks on North 6th Street, Vincennes.
The WAOV forecast now from the Bryan Stevens Erie Insurance Weather Center. Sunny at a high of 85 for today, a low tonight near 64 with scattered showers in the area, and then a 30% chance of rain on Tuesday, high of 80, 77 on Wednesday. You're going through Monday with a head full of nothing? So are these guys. It's Mark and Mark today at 3 on WAOV.
Welcome back to the Morning Chat with Ed Ballinger on 97.7 FM, 1450 AM, WAOV, and also WAOV 97.3 FM in Washington. Amy Seed, our guest from the Lawrence County Chamber of Commerce. Good morning.
Good morning.
You survived.
I survived, yes. I survived planning the largest event of the year in our county.
All right. Okay. Well, you know, it's we've been getting a lot of reports here in Vincennes and stuff. I understand it was a big, big crowd out at the airport.
Yeah, I was hoping for 5,000. I would say we probably had about 2,500 out there.
Okay, and I, you know what? It's funny, and I don't know in your situation, but we, here in Vincennes, they anticipated for the weekend. It seems like more people came on Sunday and Monday than they did a Saturday.
Yeah, I was going to say in Lawrence County, most of the people came in on Monday. So we did provide camping out at the Air Center, Mid-America Air Center. And we had 21 RVs and 28 tent camping spots.
Okay, how many planes came in?
Just over 70. Including 12 jets. And then there was a jet that dropped off 25 people and then left. It was so cool seeing these planes fly in, and you know, it was really neat.
And I tell you what, then when it was over, they just hopped on the plane and
yeah,
left.
They did. They did. Yeah. I thought people would kind of stay around a little bit longer, but as soon as the totality was done, like the total eclipse part, like as soon as it was done, everyone packed up and left. Okay.
Well, you learn.
Yes, yes. Okay. And I was surprised like how many different people were out there with not just these professional grade cameras, but also like telescopes and stuff too, just kind of recording this and looking at that. I mean, it was kind of neat.
Well, I don't know if you'll have an event of that magnitude or where it potentially could get people, but if you do, you're prepared.
Oh gosh, yes. I mean, we were definitely prepared, and not just our committee with our event, but our county. Like, I was surprised like how prepared we were. We actually got called out by the state of Illinois for Lawrence County being the most prepared county in the state as far as preparation of influx of, you know, I mean, just, and it's all those, the meetings and like it kind of all just pieced together and just different people knew what they were doing. And I mean, we had no problems in the county. I mean, so it was great. It was really great.
70 planes.
Wow. Yeah, 70 planes, which I mean, I would not mind doing another event with the airport, you know, because that was just, that kind of opened my eyes. Like, wow, these are people just like flying from all over the place coming to our airport in Lawrence County, which is the third largest airport in the state of Illinois, like footage wise, not busyness, but largest being.
Right. It is a trade zone also.
Yes, it is a trade zone.
So, I mean, you got that foreign trade zone tag going for you, which helps.
Yes.
Okay. So anyway, you have all these people come and they're on the ground. You got music playing. You got food. I mean, a good time as you get closer and closer. Then the eclipse happens. Totality takes place. And it starts to dissipate and it's gone. So people start packing up and leaving. And then after all this is done, do you say to yourself, all that, and now it's done?
Well, and I mean, the biggest point was to showcase our county. Mm-hmm. You know, we wanted to showcase the beauty of the airport. I've been out to the airport a handful of times prior to planning this event, but I guess I really never realized how beautiful the grounds are. Mm-hmm. I mean, they've got in the terminal, they've got this kind of like, I don't want to say conference room, but room that you can utilize for parties. And that's where we had our VIP section. And it, VIP for Sunday night, and it overlooks the runway. And it was just like being out there during the, like on Monday during the day and seeing the planes. It was beautiful. I mean, and you couldn't ask for a gorgeous day on Monday.
No.
Like it had rained, poured on Sunday. It rained on Tuesday. So, I mean, right smack in the middle of Monday, God blessed us with this beautiful day.
Mm-hmm. What'd you think of the eclipse? Pretty amazing.
That was pretty cool.
Yeah.
You know, my dad came into town. He's from Arizona. He had chased the other one and it was kind of told me a little bit what to expect and stuff like that. So it was kind of neat, you know,
right.
And, we had the band obviously stop playing a couple minutes before and a couple minutes after, because a lot of people wanted to hear the Nocturnal Animals,
right?
You know, and that was neat. It's like 2 o'clock in the afternoon and it's dark out.
I know it. Okay. So mission accomplished.
Yes.
Okay. And again, you utilized a big, it's not really an industry, but the airport is so essential.
It is.
Okay. All right. So now it's back to reality.
Yes.
And what's coming up?
What's coming up? We have a small event that we've added this year. It's called Springfest Marketplace. We are doing it downtown Lawrenceville in the parking structure. So far, we've got like 14 vendors. So what it is, it's Saturday, June 1st from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. Central Time. And we are inviting people to come to our county, and we've got like vendors, we'll have food trucks. And then I have partnered with a few of the stores, businesses on the square. They're going to do some stuff as well too. Like, I already talked to Finishing Touch, which is the art gallery. She's going to end up having like a sidewalk sale type of thing. Athena's Fashion Boutique right there also on the square. She's going to plan on doing something as well too. Rachel Michelle's, which is a beauty salon. She sells products and some other stuff there. She's going to plan something. So I've got other people collaborating with me on this one. So far, I think 14 vendors, 3 food trucks. If you are interested and you're a vendor, it is $30 for a food truck, $20 for any other vendor. And then if you're a member of our chamber, it's free.
Okay. Now, where's this going to be at?
It's in the parking garage right on 11th and Walnut.
Okay. All right.
It's right around the corner from the square. Actually, right around the corner from my office. So it's a two-level parking garage. You've got the top level, nice and sunny, and then underneath it's kind of dark and dingy.
Yeah.
So we're going to have it up on the sunny part. So I'm kind of excited about this.
Sure.
You know, just to kind of help.
When is it again?
June 1st. 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. Central Time.
Okay. So you got a little time.
Yes. Yes. Yeah.
But you also got to be planning for something else at that time, too.
Yes. Yes. Our famous Uncorked Festival. It is set for July 27th at Red Hill State Park. I think this is our 12th or 13th year. I'll have to go back and check my records. You're going to have to bear with me. I'm still learning stuff.
Oh, that's okay. I understand.
But so the Uncorked Festival, what it is that we have anywhere between 5 and 7 different wineries come out and you get to taste their wine. We also have 3 to 4 bands that will be playing throughout the day as well, which I know I've already booked Muddy Creek. They are the band that actually performed at Dancing in the Dark, our eclipse event. And then there'll be a few other food trucks out there. And then we will have a couple vendors out there as well, too.
Wow.
And Red Hill State Park is gorgeous.
It is. It is.
It is just simply gorgeous, especially this time of year when everything's starting to come back to life.
What's the new restaurant out there?
It's called Harry Lee's. They haven't opened yet. They were hoping to be open this past weekend, but got set back a little bit. But he's projected to be open sometime this month.
Okay.
So, which that's on the lake side. The Uncorked is on the north side. I am directionally challenged. I think it's north side.
Okay. All right. Well, anyway, it's covered.
Yes.
Okay. All right. But this one is a big one.
Yes. Yes. This is a big event. You know, before being the director, I had attended this event probably about 2 or 3 times.
Okay. Now, if my memory serves me right, sometimes it doesn't. This is in July. If my memory serves me right, you got your fall festival in September.
Yes, September 11th.
And then you got the Capital Classic in November.
Yep, November 29th.
You go every other month. And it takes time to put stuff together. That's pretty ambitious.
Yes, yes.
I mean, that's a credit to you guys, I mean, in Lawrence County for doing it. But, I mean, it's a lot of things going on, bam, bam, bam. And then that doesn't even throw Christmas in the loop.
Yeah, which, I mean, we've missed an opportunity with Small Business Saturday, so I have added another small event. Because we've got the Capital Classic and we've got people coming in from surrounding counties for mm-hmm. this Capital Classic, this year I am creating a Small Business Saturday event, which is going to be held that Saturday, November 30th. I had to figure out my name.
Oh, it's all right.
But I'm calling it Shop and Score. So I've rented out Halvin Hall right there on the square. And same type of concept that I'm having for Spring Fest. I'm having vendors out there. And then I've partnered with other local businesses, and we'll have like a list of businesses, places that people can visit while they're in Lawrence County. Because you've got this three-hour gap in between session one and session two on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I remember when I worked over here in Vincennes and at Kohl's. I remember, you know, I was manager at Kohl's for years, and I remember that Saturday, you got all these people coming in from Lawrence County that have a couple hours in between, you know, these cheer and basketball moms
right.
coming over and shopping, and I'm like, that's a missed opportunity.
Right.
You
right.
know, we need to, I'd like to keep, I know I'm over here speaking in Knox County, but I'd like to keep them in Lawrence County.
We understand that you're it's a Lawrence County event, sure.
So, yeah.
Sure. And I, you know, having been at your event last year, I know
yes.
what you mean. There's that layover time,
mm-hmm.
you know, and people look for things to do. A lot of people don't want to go home.
No.
You know what I mean? And
no.
Even if they're from Alney or they're from, you know, T-Town or whatever.
Mount Carmel wasn't there last year because
yeah.
they made it to the playoffs for football.
Right. But I'm just saying, even if you're in T-Town and stuff, you know what I'm talking
about. Or even
home.
Like Lincoln.
Right.
Lincoln was in it this past year.
Right.
You know, and they signed a two-year contract. So the same schools that were there last year will be there this coming year.
Okay, so that's good.
So,
I enjoyed it. I enjoyed doing it. So, I mean, it's fun, but again, you know, you got Fall Festival in September. I mean, there's just a lot of things going on, you know, once you get to summer. I mean, I guess you better breathe a little bit right now, huh?
Yeah, because on a personal note, I have three weddings coming up this year, too. So yeah, one in October, one in November, and one in December. So,
Oh, you got the burr months.
yes. So, this should be a very interesting year for me.
Okay, good. Also, I do want to add that you also are looking for memberships, right?
Yes. So, always looking for new members, you know, potential to grow our community. You know, if you are interested in becoming a member, there's several different perks of being a member of the Lawrence County Chamber. If you are interested, just give me a call at my office, 618-943-3516. You can also visit our website, which is lawrencecountychamberofconverse.info. You can also find us on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok. So,
okay, you got a lot going on.
Yeah.
Okay. So, first of all, let me again say congratulations on the eclipse and everything there. And that was a job well done.
Yeah.
A lot of people to thank, I'm sure. But anyway, appreciate you coming over today. Is there anything else you need to add real quick?
I think I covered.
I covered
a lot today.
You did. So anyway, if you missed it, she will be back next month. Talk about it some more. So
yep.
Amy, appreciate you coming in. Have a great day.
You too.
All right. Stay tuned. More of the Morning Chat coming up on WAOV.
Free. Who doesn't love free? With MyLowe's Rewards, you get the member-only treatment that's actually worth it. Enjoy free member gifts you'll love. And once you reach Silver Key status, you can get free standard shipping. Because Lowe's knows nothing feels better than free. Learn more about our new loyalty program at Lowe's.com/MyLowe's Rewards today. Program subject to terms and conditions. See Lowe's.com/terms for details. Member gifts may be subject to additional terms and restrictions. See Lowe's.com/shipping terms for details. Subject to change.
Whether it's food for meetings or company events, Easy Cater has everything you need to make food for work work. And that means all you have to do is sit back and take credit.
Wow, a vegan and a meat lover taco bar? Jill, you're the best.
Oh, all I did was use Easy Cater.
Take the credit, Jill.
Well, I guess I sort of...
Take it.
invented taco bars.
Too far, Jill. Too far. Easy Cater has everything you need to make food for work, work. 100,000 restaurants, one platform. Order 24/7 at easycater.com.
The following is a previously aired program on the WAOV Morning Chat with Ed Ballinger. Welcome back to the Morning Chat with Ed Ballinger on 97.7 FM, 1450 AM, WAOV in Vincennes, 97.3 FM in Washington. On the line with us this morning, we have author Dale Glenn, and he's got a book signing coming up this month, and his book is called Mystic Knights of the Wabash. First of all, good morning.
Good morning.
So how are you?
Oh, I'm doing fine. It's raining in Bloomington, but we needed it, so that's good.
It's been raining for a couple of days, right? So
it has been, yes.
All righty. Is this your second book? Is that right?
This is the second book. Both took place, they're novels, and they both took place in Knox County.
Okay, your first book, what was it titled?
It was titled Purcell Station, named after the old train stop south of Vincennes, which no longer is there. But the book actually took place in Decker, and it was that's where I was born, and it's where my mother's side of the family resided and lived all their lives. So I used some characters and some people that I knew from visiting there and spending a lot of summers there, and used them. And this second book, Mystic Knights of the Wabash, is based mostly on my father's side of the family, who lived down in the Decker Chapel area, what was called the Neck, and sometimes called Hell's Neck. And so this second book is based all on his family and the surrounding area.
Dale, what gets you interested in writing a book?
Well, I was an English teacher at a suburban high school in Indianapolis after I graduated from Indiana University. And one night I told friends of mine I was going to write a novel. And that was kind of precocious because it was 40 years before I actually got around to it. But I'd always had the idea that Decker had a lot of characters and a lot of character, and I thought it'd be a great setting for a novel. And after 40 years and I retired, I sat down and I was recuperating from cancer surgery. My wife was still working. The kids were out of the house. I was home alone in the middle of February, and I decided I can't put this off any longer. I'm going to write a chapter and see what happens. And so I did, and I thought, well, okay, I'll write a second chapter. And I did, and I ended up throwing it out completely. 34 chapters later, I had a novel and got it published. And the bookstore there in Vincennes told me it was the largest selling book they'd ever had in 30 years there. So it went over pretty well.
Okay, now
I hope this second one does.
Okay, it's a little bit of fiction, a little bit of nonfiction, would you say?
Yeah, it's considered fiction, but I based it on some of the characters that I'd heard. I was fortunate to grow up in a family that had a lot of storytellers, uncles and grandparents, and on both sides of the family. And I heard a lot of stories growing up, and I thought, gosh, these ought to be in a novel someplace. And so I used some of the stories that I'd heard, added the people, the names are all fiction, of course. But some of the places are places that the reader will recognize. Decker, Vincennes, Lyle Station, the black community in Gibson County, just across the river, in across White River. That plays a big, important part of my book. I went to Lyle Station and visited and took a couple of tours there and talked to some of the native people that had been steeped in the history of that area. And I incorporated that into the second book, too. So it's based on some history. It's called a historical novel. And the places are real. Some of the names are changed. But the characters are all fictitious, but they are based on some of my family.
Did you notice over the years those stories that you heard that they get a little different every year? They kind of stretch a little bit more and more?
They get embellished. You know, it's just like the old fisherman, you know, he gets a fish and it's 15 inches long, but 3 years later it's 25 inches long. So that's kind of the way some of these stories get.
Okay, now what was the difference, I mean, from Purcell Station to Mystic Knights of the Wabash, the time difference between the two? I mean, did it take you did it take you? You wrote Purcell Station, and then 3 or 4 years later, or what was the difference?
No, I did Purcell Station 10 years ago, and it took me about 2 years to write it. I only worked during the winter because there's too much golf to play in the summer.
You got your priorities right, don't you?
Oh yeah, you bet. But I was retired when I wrote it, and it took me a couple of years, and then it took more time to even revise it. So it was, and the story itself took place in 1952, and it was during the Korean War, and of course World War II had been over by about 7 years, and we were settling into the 1950s, and it was just a great time. It was a time of my youth, and some of the characters are people that I met spending my summers. We lived north of Indianapolis most of my life, but we spent all of our summers down at in Decker, my grandparents' house. Or my father grew up on a farm west of Decker, and we'd spend summers on the farm. It's a farm that I own now, but it was settled by our family back in the 1880s. And so we got a lot of history in that part of the town, and so I still go down there and pay my taxes and visit a lot of people. So, and this second book, The Mystic Knights of Wabash, takes place during the Great Depression and Prohibition. And I got the name because there was an old dance hall down on the river in Hell's Neck, and it was called Mystic Knights of the Wabash. And it was during Prohibition, and so there was a little bit of bootlegging going on, and who knows what else was going on there. It was a very mysterious nightclub, or speakeasy is what they call it, and they would haul people in there by the busloads, and they would come from all around Illinois, Indiana, and it was, the reason it was down there is because Hell's Neck was considered a refuge for refugees from the law. People that were trying to escape the law. The law was the sheriff, and the sheriff was in Vincennes. And Hell's Neck, 20-25 miles south, back in an area where there's very little supervision, law. And fugitives from the law would go down there and hide. They could hide in some of the places along the river. Both rivers had a lot of trees along there. There was a place called the Cypress Swamp, which is, can be kind of famous still today, and we can hide in there, and then there was this speakeasy and dance hall, they have bands, live music, and so forth, and a lot of bootlegging, and it was just a raw place to live, and it was very sparsely populated, not very many people there. It was low land, it got flooded almost every year, still does a little bit, but the Army Corps of Engineers years ago built dams on the Wabash up north to create some reservoirs that would hold some of the water and alleviate some of the flooding down there in Knox County and surrounding counties. That second book, Mystic Knights of Wabash, takes place in 1933. Mm-hmm. And it was right the year that President Roosevelt took office. And it was the same time that Hitler came into power in Germany. And the book talks about both of these. There was a lot going on in the world. We were headed toward World War II, and we didn't know it. Mm-hmm. But there were signs. If you look back, there were signs. And a lot of what went on back in the 30s parallel what goes on today. A lot of questions about immigration, not accepting and being intolerant toward people that are not like them and that kind of thing, a lot of political division. So this is kind of an antecedent, the 1930s were an antecedent to a lot of the problems we face in the world today.
Yeah. Now, how much research goes into doing a book like this?
Hey, that's a good question. I started out this book, and I had no idea what the plot was going to be. And I started just writing and putting in things that I wanted that came to mind. And as I did that, I started thinking, wait a minute, I got to find a plot here somewhere. So I went down to Vincennes, and I talked to some of the natives that grew up down around our farm, people that I knew a little bit, but didn't know very well. And they took me on a tour around Hell's Neck, all down White River and the Wabash. And we went down to where the